Hey everybody, it's Corey Poindexter here with Bob Fecchetti, and tonight on a short and sweet post-Raw edition, we're giving you the full rundown of Extreme Rules, winners and losers, all the results, full recap of Monday Night Raw. We're talking about confirmed entrance into the Money in the Bank match in June, who walked away with the belt at Extreme Rules, and the biggest return at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. All that and more tonight on Small Package. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Small Package. We're coming at you a little bit early. We're giving you Extreme Rules results today, and we are talking Monday Night Raw, but we are talking the most important thing. He has come back to us.
CrossFit Jesus.
Come to save us. Seth Rollins is back in a big way.
How?
And how indeed.
Already booked for his next big match, but we'll get to that. Oh my god! Soon.
So happy, so unbelievably happy.
All right. Let's go over Extreme Rules real quick here.
So, real quick, I'm just gonna say this in case we'll see how the timeline works. So, real quick, we recorded A little bit of banter on the train ride out to Extreme Rules last night. And go ahead and roll the clip and let you hear the interesting things that we had to say on the train.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Bob Fecchetti here with
Corey Poindexter.
And we are on the New Jersey Transit train towards Newark Penn Station, where we will get off and then walk the 10 minutes through the hellscape that is Newark, New Jersey, to get to the Prudential Center.
I hope that there's people on this train right now who are from Newark who are highly offended, or at least sitting there nodding going, yeah, true.
I mean, sometimes you gotta call a spade a spade.
So, there's a rumor going around that Dwayne The Rock Johnson might make an appearance tonight.
Entirely started by me. So, don't read into it too much. All I know is that Dwayne The Rock Johnson's in New York City right now. That's literally the basis for this rumor that I have started. It should be noted.
I did actually hear a couple of other people on the internet talking about it earlier, and it would be very surprising if he came out to help Roman and the Usos in the main event picture.
It would be bloodline-y.
It would indeed.
But speaking of spoilers and returns and rumors, there's someone else that I won't mention because Corey wants to mark out hard, but...
Is it like a legend return?
No.
Is it an active current roster return?
Yes.
Is it Enzo Amore?
No. Yeah, it's a different rumor.
Alright, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to plug my ears for realsies so that you can talk about it for a second.
Okay, so the rumor is that Seth Rollins is coming back. Now, obviously, this is kind of unsubstantiated. It was seen on PW Insider. But I guess he's been seen in New Jersey. And if he's not here tonight, then there's good chance he'll be on Monday. But that's just what the internet says. And Corey's back now.
I'm now back. So hopefully this is going to be, this is Bob's first ever, not only pay-per-view, but WWE live.
First ever time seeing live wrestling, period.
Which, it's I always find that it's quite the
Well,
experience.
Actually, no, I have seen professional wrestling one time. It was incredibly amateur. It was on Cinco de Mayo, involved two lucha wrestlers, and it was the get put into a dress match, which was really funny to watch. But that's the only time I've seen pro wrestling.
Well, we're...
quote-unquote pro.
We're very excited to get there. This is my actual first WWE, quote, pay-per-view, whatever they're calling these events now, because a lot of them are network exclusive.
Yeah, they're not... They don't go through the pay-per-view TV channels.
Yeah, but we all still call them pay-per-views.
So. Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to call them?
No idea.
Right?
We need to come up with a new term. We need to start a new hashtag to rename these. But, we're super excited to see how this show goes tonight. We did record some predictions with Khan for a bit that we're doing this week, but I don't think we're going to get those out before the event, so we'll try to save them and show how wrong Khan was.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, Khan's
out,
wrong.
Shout out to friend of the show, Andrew, hashtag the wrong Khan. So, but yeah, this should be a pretty good event, and I'm actually really interested to see what things happen that are not on the card, because currently Enzo and Cass have no spot on the card, but mm-hmm. I feel like they're going to give some sort of
mic moment. Time
yeah.
for and, Enzo's return,
which is rumored still, but
yeah, obviously everything's unsubstantiated.
Also, every time I take this train to Newark, I always feel like we go through this field that actually looks really pretty, and I feel like it's like a really deceptive trap to lower your defenses and go, oh, see, it's not that bad, and then you arrive into Newark, and it's just...
Well, see, I just assume that the field and everything that you go through is just filled with mobster bodies.
Probably. It's a very fair point. Anything... anything else you want to add for the show tonight? Anything you want to talk about?
It'll be
spoilers that I do not want to hear.
Sure. It'll be interesting to see if they do any movement forward with the whole Raw GM storyline.
With Shane and Stephanie?
Yeah, because you know, obviously Payback had the big decision where they went with both of them. As co-GMs, and then since then we have seen both of them meddling heavily with matches and becoming interactive with the roster.
So far they've been really buddy-buddy too, so I'm interested to see if they push for a split at SummerSlam, or if they keep this going through SummerSlam and perhaps aim to split this up closer to Survivor Series. Those are the two events that I would see the Shane and Stephanie co-GMing mm-hmm. split happen. I wonder if SummerSlam is too soon, because, well, you have one more pay-per-view between now and SummerSlam, right? Correct? Money in the Bank and then SummerSlam? Is that right?
Maybe there's two. There might I know there's two. Definitely Money in the Bank.
Well, Money in the Bank is in June.
Yeah, so there's the some July one, because August is usually SummerSlam, I think.
Sorry, we're at Secaucus, everybody.
Right.
Just to time and date this. What time is it right now?
6:04. 6:05. Just turned 6:05.
That's Secaucus. Where the doors are opening right now, but we will get there short soon enough.
Yeah, I think we're next stop.
But it should be a really fun pay-per-view. And I'll see. I'm interested to see as well how they advance the Shane and Steph story. I don't think that it's... Especially if we have two more before SummerSlam, because I think SummerSlam's the August one.
Yeah, it should be.
So it's either the July or August one. It depends on how they're mapping it out this year.
I'm
but,
pretty sure last year was August.
It'd be really interesting to see, because we have at least one more pay-per-view between now and SummerSlam. Possibly two. So I feel like it's a little early to try to, like, start a rift between them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's way too early.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that dynamic shifts, or if they throw any wrenches into that plan.
What if Steph stays face but Shane goes heel?
That'd be interesting too. I mean, right now, I mean, Stephanie McMahon is an amazing heel. Like, it cannot be understated.
It's true. It's really true.
Or overstated. I'm sorry, it cannot be overstated how good of a heel she is. But you know, Shane also could be potentially a great heel, and especially because the fans love him so much, the idea of him turning would make people so mad, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So it is worth noting that that's totally a possibility.
I'm just excited. We've already seen a bunch of other people in wrestling shirts, and that's just in the train station.
Oh yeah, Bob is rocking the birthday gift I got for him, the Bootios shirt and unicorn horn. I am rocking a throwback retro teal John Cena shirt with lots of John Cenas on it. I've already been, I don't want to say catcalled, but Cena called. I've gotten a few people doing the
theme
song.
You've been derided and also complimented.
A couple people doing the theme song from across the way. A few people telling me that John Cena's changed. A cashier at a Dwayne Reed saying not to listen to people making fun of my Cena shirt because Cena's awesome. And then
she would lock that up.
Yeah, she said she would trap if she were Nikki Bella. And John Cena said he didn't want kids and wasn't sure about marriage. The cashier said she would, quote, trap him and lock him up, which that was definitely an interesting take on it. So we're rocking our WWE gear. I have a Bayley shirt, the I May Hug Her shirt, underneath my John Cena shirt. So that way, if I get harassed too much, I can just pop into a bathroom and change and be fine. But Mo will be there.
Friend of the show, Mama Zich.
So, all right, this view's incredible too. I wish you people on the podcast could see it, but I'm just gonna go ahead and describe it. It's like New York is glimmering in the distance, beautiful, and then between us and that New York is just sort of a field. It's not nearly as dirty as you think it is. I can actually now see why this area is called the Meadowlands.
I mean,
lots of water.
If you've seen the show opening to The Sopranos, that's what we're going through.
Fair enough. Well, we're going to be in Newark Penn in just a few minutes, so we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. But we will come back with a post-extreme rules show. And, all right, guys, we'll record again after the show and let you know what we thought.
See? So that was obviously before we got to Extreme Rules and found out that CrossFit Jesus had returned from
but
the
I
dead.
Did call it. Thank you very much.
Oh my God, you did call it. I did plug my ears too. I didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was a 100% true, just surprise pop. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's how I like them. But yeah, so we were at Extreme Rules last night. We are dating ourselves here by telling you we are recording this live, pre-recorded,
live
after Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Extreme Rules last night, real quick. Just
it was
gonna,
fantastic show.
Oh my God, it was, first off, great crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely crowd. And especially because they didn't take the piss out of it too much. They didn't make it about themselves entirely, which there are some crowds that end up being kind of smarky and... You know, I mean, there are people.
I mean,
in the
it was
crowd.
Still a fairly smarky crowd.
Yeah, but they didn't overpower or ruin the show with it, and that's my point. Is that there are crowds, especially sometimes Brooklyn can be that way.
Yeah.
For WWE events where they make it more about themselves than the event, I felt like the crowd was there to watch the event and not make it about themselves.
True. True. I agree.
Real quick, I'm going to run down the card for you, and then Bob and I will go down that, and then we will run through SmackDown or
Raw.
Then we will run down Raw and give you the results from that too. So last night, get to the Prudential Center.
Yeah,
Prudential Center in fabulous sunny Newark, New Jersey. Opens up the kickoff show by scaring the crap out of us with their pyro. Huh.
Well, pre-kickoff show.
No, it was on the kickoff show.
It was televised?
Yeah, that was on the kickoff show, yeah.
Okay.
Because I thought it was going to be pre-kickoff show, too. It was on the kickoff show.
Hmm.
And at least I'm almost certain it was on the kickoff show.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
Regardless, quick note. When you go to a WWE live event, like a pay-per-view or a Raw, at worst SmackDown, I know it's pre-tape, but you know when you're in the arena to watch it, sometimes you don't have context because you cannot hear the commentary team unless you like have your phone.
Yeah, we don't know what's on TV. We don't know what people are seeing.
So we're sitting there, and then mid-conversation, no warning, the lights go out, but at the same time as the Dudley Boys pyro coming out.
Oh, yeah, which is loud. And
I mean, they have the extra whistle in it, too.
Yeah, right.
So we crapped our pants. And then got to watch the Dudleys come out and rip on the crowd and just, you know, sort of shit on everyone and say that they're leaving ECW is what caused ECW to crumble. Big Cass came out. No Enzo. Sorry. We'll get to that. But no Enzo with Big Cass last night. He comes out and cuts a promo on them. And I thought he cut an awesome promo.
It was pretty decent. Pretty decent.
About him eating not only the table, but everything on it. How you doing? And then Big Cass defeated the Duds. I mean, it wasn't a match. But
he sort of took care of them.
He beat them up. Then we got
The proper pre-show.
Final thing on the pre-show was Baron Corbin versus Ziggy Ziggy Ziggy. Oy, oy, oy.
No DQ.
No disqualifications, which we will also get to that later in our opinions on it, but one of the only, like, extreme stipulations, and it wasn't even that extreme, but the no disqualifications, not a lot of extreme for an extreme rules card.
Very lack of extreme. But anyway.
So Ziggy dropped the loss.
Yeah. Corbin won.
Looking like a monster now, Corbin. Rolling through Dolph Ziggler after losing to him. Open up the show. The club lost their tornado, or they won they their won. Tornado match. They That's won. Right. I'm sorry. I'm fantasy booking in my own head because I got that prediction wrong. The Usos lost to the club.
Yeah.
Rusev defeated Kalisto.
Big title change.
Machka.
First title change in a while, honestly.
Yeah. New Day defeated...
Well, I guess I see, but...
The Vaudevillians.
Mm-hmm. Retaining their Vaudevillians.
And then Miz defeated Cesaro, Owens, and Zayn.
Retaining his title.
Getting the pinfall against Cesaro. Mm-hmm. Ambrose defeated Chris Jericho in the Asylum.
Asylum.
Charlotte
retained,
defeated Natalya on
with her terrible Ric Flair impersonation. But we'll get to that.
Bullshit.
And
then the end of the night. I mean, Reigns won.
Retained, obviously.
But then, like a shining star that we don't deserve.
Seth Rollins appeared from the ramp. Seth running Rollins down
sprints down the ramp.
Hits a pedigree.
It hits. Saying hits a pedigree doesn't do justice to what we saw in person, Bob. That's like saying, you know, oh, God made the earth. Okay? Seth Rollins hits the pedigree of all time. Then proceeds to freak the fuck out and run around with that belt and hold it up high. Whoa, I need a cigarette. Huh. So that was Extreme Rules. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that real quick before we get into Raw, or just run through Raw as well?
Let's just go through Raw.
All right, so that was Extreme Rules from the 22nd last night, and now tonight's Monday Night Raw results.
The 23rd opens with Rollins again.
He cut a promo, and we were a little bit worried. We'll get to this in more detail, but we're a little bit worried about how they were going to book him. Heel, face. Everyone obviously loves him, and they're glad he's back. Mm-hmm. Would they go heel? They did indeed go heel. He cuts a
very big, much heel.
Big heel promo, and managed to get the crowd to turn on him, because Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins are just the best people on the microphone ever. Shane O'Mac comes out after, you know, Roman Reigns comes out, and he's like, brruh, brruh, brruh. Shane O'Mac comes out and goes, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we just put all our cards on the table tonight and make Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins for the title the main event of Money in the Bank. After that, we found out that five of the spots in Money in the Bank, five of the seven alleged spots, were going to be filled tonight. Sheamus was going to face Sammy. Cesaro was going to face Miz. AJ was going to face KO. Dean Ambrose versus Ziggler and Y2J versus Apollo Crews to determine five of the spots in the Money in the Bank ladder match. So we got Sheamus cutting a promo with Summer fucking Ray. Bay is who it is. Renee Bay Young.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I said Summer Ray. He cut a promo with Renee Young saying he hates this new era stuff. Mm-hmm. Then he went out there and lost to Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
He was so mad, in fact, that after the next commercial break, he interrupted Renee interviewing Apollo Crews and beat him up. New Day came out and cut a promo with a cake that said happy birthday on it. We were very confused. They were celebrating the 1200th episode of Monday Night Raw. It turned, it's like 23 years old now.
That's a lot of episodes.
It's a lot of episodes, man. It is the longest running episodic, apparently. By the way, Lassie is number five. Learned that from a tweet from WWE.
Huh.
The more you know. So they cut this promo. They did some funny stuff with a cake. If you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube. Just Google search Monday Night Raw 523 New Day cake promo. It's hilarious. Then the Outcasts, Social Outcasts, come out and interrupt this fabulous promo. And then they got squashed in a match against the New Day. The New Day rained cake on the Social Outcasts before The Miz came out to cut a promo about still being the Intercontinental Champion. Cesaro came out and won the match against him. Then we saw a backstage promo. Rollins interviewed by Renee Young. He saw Stephanie. He went for the hug. Steph was like, oh no, friend zone. And then stopped the hug and was like, we got a new relationship. Jericho defeated Apollo Crews because, you know, Apollo Crews is the new Tyler Breeze. Corbin was backstage, had a promo. Ziggler interrupted him, and I was like, oh, good. Good. I would love to see 18 more Corbin-Ziggler matches. Cass came out. Surprise, Enzo returned. Don't know why he didn't return last night, like you were saying. We'll get into that. Enzo cut a little promo. The Dudleys came out. Cass fought Bubba. Enzo took a couple of bumps, which was really, really weird, considering he just got back off concussion protocol. Charlotte cut a promo on her dad. It was really awkward and terrible. Just saying, as they finally separated Rick and Charlotte, but now Charlotte's with Dana Brooke, so I guess that means that Becky Lynch has nothing to do forever now. I don't know. And then Ambrose defeated Ziggler, and then Kevin Owens is the fucking best. AJ came out and told the Bullet Club or the Club Sandwich, whatever, to fuck off. They're done. So he separated from them, got some heat from the crowd, and then Kevin Owens did what Kevin Owens does best and won. So he secured that that's final spot in the ladder match. So we got Sammy, Cesaro, Kevin Owens, Dean Ambrose, and Y2J in the ladder match confirmed. And that was the end of Monday Night Raw.
And then for SmackDown on Thursday, we have a confirmed U.S. title rematch between Kalisto and Rusev and an IC title match between Cesaro and Miz.
Oh, they said it was for the IC?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. That we probably will not be covering SmackDown this week unless we recap it next week. We're doing this a little bit early, so that way we can also talk Extreme Rules with everybody. So, with that being said, Bob, how did you feel about everything? Is there anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, Extreme Rules was awesome, except that it wasn't extreme. It was pretty much just a regular pay-per-view that had, like, literally two spots that were, quote, extreme, end quote. Okay. There was the low blow with Corbin that would have DQ'd the match, but it was a no DQ. And then you have a couple chair shots in the final match, but like
not extreme.
I mean, the Ambrose, the Asylum match, I will say, really surprised to see a thumbtack spot. Really surprised to see a thumbtack spot. The barbed wire spot was not that. It was very underwhelming.
We'll get to the Asylum match in a little bit because I have thoughts on that too.
But anyway,
to your point about the not being extreme, if you count the Dudleys and the Cass thing as a match, mm-hmm. which it wasn't, but if we count it, because it was a very big spot, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, what 9. Spot? I'm just saying that yeah. It was a big promo, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Let's go ahead and just count that as it was something, okay, even though there was sure. No bell ring. So that's 9 big segments, right? Of those,
mm-hmm.
Corbin Ziggler was a no DQ. Clover's Usos was Tornado, but was not no DQ. Rusev Kalisto was not no DQ. New Day versus Vaudevillains, again, standard match. Miz... The Fatal Four-Way
is normal Fatal Four-Way match.
But Fatal Four-Way does mean no disqualification. Sure, so now we're at 2, because Corbin Ziggler. So we're at 2 no DQ matches. Ambrose, Y2J, of course, mm-hmm. was extreme. And then Reigns versus AJ was extreme. So mm-hmm. of that, 4 of 9 segments were no disqualifications, which is extreme, except that in the Corbin Ziggler match, the only, quote, extreme or, you know, would have disqualified a move was the low blow.
Mm-hmm.
And Asylum match was crazy, but they didn't really do much that would have disqualified you in the 4-4-way. So that means that only 2 of 9 segments actually had weapon shots.
Yeah, anything. Extreme Rules.
Which, maybe they should just change the name of the pay-per-view, man.
It seems like yeah, I your point about how they need to just get away from extreme stuff because it's just watered down at this point, and they need to stop saying it's extreme because it's not.
I mean, they either need to move away from the name or live up to the name. Mm-hmm. But with the way that, you know, I think it was last night we were talking about this with Mo. Shout out to Mo, friend of the show. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the investors view WWE's audiences, generally speaking, being mostly poorer. And so it's not worth as much for the advertising. They have to do what they can.
Yeah, they have to fight for their advertising spots. And so they can't risk anything by upsetting them. Anyway,
yeah, so
the Ambrose, you want to talk Asylum match?
Sure.
Rumor has that they cut some kind of segment and that added 10 minutes to the cage match, which is why it seemed like it went on for a really long time.
Do you know what the time was on it?
Isn't it like a half hour?
26 minutes.
Yeah. So, like, that's why it was 20. Like, it probably would have only been a 15-minute match, but they're like, we need 10 more minutes on this.
Which, it's weird that they didn't give, they only gave the women, I think, 9.
And the tag team match, wasn't that only like 6?
The New Day's match?
Yeah. I heard that was only like 6
no,
minutes.
No, no, no.
Like, that, it was under 10. It was under 10.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That is insane. I mean, I felt like they could have definitely given, if they needed to give 10 minutes to somewhere, there were some matches that could have used that Fatal 4-Way, we could have had 10 more minutes and I would have been fine with that.
But, I mean, apparently watching it on television was better, but watching it in the ring, the first, you know, 5 minutes seemed to be just two men floundering on the top rope, each teasing, going for a weapon, and then getting pulled back down to the ring to start over again. Like, it was very much like a start and stop match with no spots or momentum for either wrestler. It just felt like both of them were floundering around, and then they're like, okay, now we're going to actually get into the match.
For the Asylum?
Yeah.
And it's like, they didn't need to use every weapon. And like the mop, did we really need to see them grab the mop?
Yeah.
I mean, the potted plant, I think, was the only thing that didn't get taken off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree that in person, I watched it again last night after we got back. In person, it felt like it went very long. On TV, the commentary definitely helped. It didn't feel like nearly as long. I still enjoyed the ending. I mean, they saved it, the ending.
Yeah, no.
The jump off the top.
The Asylum match was the opposite of the women's match.
Yeah. Because the Asylum match started off incredibly slow, but then you got to the jump off the top,
mm-hmm.
the thumbtack spot, which mm-hmm. did not expect Jericho to take a thumbtack spot.
Yeah, they kept teasing it. We kept getting hyped for it. You know, everyone was like, oh, there's no way. There's no way they'd do a thumbtack spot.
And then
they teased it like 2 or 3 times, and then they finally did it later in the match. And we were all stoked in the crowd.
I thought they were going to do what they do with like the flaming tables and everything, where it's like, no, seriously. But Jericho, of all people to take it, I kind of thought he would have been mm-hmm. like non-kayfabe, like above that. But bravo for him taking it. But yeah, I agree. The women's was the opposite, where it started off great. Yeah, it was like
a really good match. You know, Natalya and Charlotte can definitely go in a ring really well. And it was a submission match, so you knew it was going to be like hold heavy. But everything was great up until
Flair's music hits, and Natty thinks she's won. And it is not the Nature Boy.
Obviously, every single person knows it's not going to be the Nature Boy.
Which I actually, for friends of mine on Facebook, I was live recording as this was happening.
Uh-huh.
And I all of a sudden panned over because Dana actually came out before the music hit.
Mm-hmm.
Dana Brooks was dressed as Ric Flair, and she had come out, and I recorded, and I remember saying, oh, what's this? And so his music hits, and then Natty thinks she's won. Turns out, surprise, it's Dana Brooks ruining Becky Lynch's storyline. And then Natalya gets like caught off guard, put in a figure 4, figure 8 bridge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you would say, Bob. But what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. They totally muffed the punt on that one.
But then, you know, I was really impressed with the last match. Roman really, really impressed in the ring.
Dude, there were so many good spots in that match. And, like, I already was a little bit appreciative, but of Roman's in-ring abilities, like I've said, I think I've said this before, I don't think that he's bad
at the ring. I mean, he's definitely in-ring is his best asset.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to hate on Roman in terms of, like, is he good or bad as a performer? I mean, you know, people who boo him saying that he sucks in the ring, it's like, no, I mean, he definitely knows what he's doing in the ring. Like, he puts up good matches. It's just that his character kind of blows.
His character is bad booking and bad. He's definitely not great on the mic, but, you know, that's whatever. His in-ring work is definitely impressive and improving,
that,
I think, too.
That table backdrop.
And he's doing new moves. And can I just say?
You can just say.
This is Bob Fekete getting real. The Styles Clash is a stupid, dumb move. Every time I see it, it looks clumsy and dumb, and it was meant to be this crazy, big, impressive, awesome move that has never once pinned a WWE wrestler. Every single time has been kicked out.
I believe that's true. I we may be wrong. If we're wrong, tweet at us at @smallpackagepod. On the Twitter.
But I don't believe any single person has been pinned by the Styles Clash.
I don't think so either.
And when he sets it up, like, obviously you have to work with your opponent to get it set up. But, like, he gets their legs up on his neck, and then he's like, okay, time for one leg to go. And then the wrestler, like, grabs his fucking leg. He's like, okay, time for the other one. And then the wrestler grabs his other fucking leg. And then it's just like, flop. You're like, okay, great.
I would say that it is not nearly as stupid as Alberto Del Rio's, like, tree of woe coup de grace kind of thing, whatever it is he does, where the opponent has to physically hold themselves up for the move to actually be executed. But I do agree with you. It's a little clunky in terms of... I mean, I don't know. I don't hate how it's clunky, because if you think about it, it's almost that it's real to me, because it would not be that easy to get your foot around your opponent's arm to do. I don't mind the clunkiness. I mind the fact that it is not that devastating of a move to begin with. Like, looking, it doesn't look very devastating. And like you said, who's he won a match against with it? Last night it was kicked out of once, and then the second time, instead of him kicking out, the Usos pulled him off. So the second one doesn't make the move look so weak, but if every time you hit the Styles Clash, your opponent is able to kick out of it, it's not a finisher.
Yeah.
And
that's just a move.
And, it, you know, they held it back. Like, it was like, you know, they, like, almost like they were protecting the move. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't let him use it for so long.
They teased it for, like,
and then Jericho kicked out of it the first time he used it. And it's just like, why is he doing this? Mm-hmm. But with that being said, Calf Crusher is a really good looking submission. I don't like the name of the phenomenal forearm, but the move is cool.
It's sick, yeah.
You know, I'm all about springboard maneuvers.
Uh huh. And a springboard 5-4-450 that he landed tonight.
Ooh. Man, I mean, AJ's. But we all knew it was going to happen. The only person in the building I think who was happy was the kid
in front of us,
right in front of us. Hashtag Ziggle Wiggle. Let's get that trend going, please, on the Twitter, as Jericho would say. But, you know, the only person who's happy were the little kids, because Roman won. We all knew it. And then Rollins runs down the ramp and pedigrees him. That was a total surprise to me. You had been on the internet and saw a couple rumors about it. Mm-hmm. But that was great. And that's where Raw opens up. And we were really concerned about how they were going to book Rollins coming back, because clearly everyone's going to cheer for him. Mm-hmm. So he should be face.
Yeah.
But they booked him heel, and that's fine, too, because he's fantastic.
And WWE needs good heels.
They very much do. I mean, Bob and I were actually just talking about this earlier. It's like, think about it for just a second in your mind. We'll give you a second to pause the podcast. Who do they have in the upper echelon of heels? right now. That's a verifiable, you know, you would believe them winning heel. It's like Kevin Owens, but right now he's caught up in mid-card stuff with IC titles and Sami Zayn, which hopefully, and who knows, Money in the Bank could put something in good for him. You know, you've got Rollins, who's back now. Is that it? Am I missing any other top echelon heels? Because
Sheamus?
I mean, maybe, but also they've just been booking him really weak. Mm-hmm. And it's like AJ versus Roman Corbin. AJ versus Roman was a face-face kind of thing.
Corbin, but Corbin's only faced Ziggler.
Which also, so, by the way, is very surprising that Corbin is not in the ladder match. I thought maybe he might take one of the final two spots, but Ambrose won, which I'm happy about. But, you know, that's sort of weird to me. Corbin, we were talking about this earlier today, Corbin really could have benefited from winning that that ladder match for the Money in the Bank, and he's not in it. So, you know, we also were talking about this earlier today. Statistically speaking, there have been 11 Money in the Bank matches. I believe that's the right number again. If we're incorrect, feel free to correct us on the Twitter. And of those, only two winners have been face at the time of their victory. So typically, Money in the Bank is a heel vehicle to put you over. You know,
only two people have lost their cash in, and one of those losses was a face cash in.
Exactly. And that's also because Cena decided to give CM Punk like a couple weeks notice that he was cashing in. Good job.
So, I mean, the way we have it now, so jumping ahead to Raw results. We have a 7-man ladder match where 5 of them are Jericho, Ambrose, Cesaro, mm-hmm. KO,
and Sami Zayn. So already you've got
two heels
and three faces in that match.
Yes.
So verifiable right now, Kevin Owens and Jericho are the only two in there who are heels.
And for the love of God, don't put it on Jericho.
Oh my God. Like, what good could come of it? I mean, Jericho doesn't need a cash in.
Yeah, he doesn't, especially since we all know he's probably not going to be a full-timer in a couple months, and they need someone who's at least going to be around for a year for the cash-in.
I know you said you would like to have Kevin Owens have the Money in the Bank, and I don't disagree with it. I think it could be fun. I just, whereas you feel like the Sami Zayn feud could just be picked up in the future, at least, that's how I think we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm.
I think that the Owens Zayn feud is a great feud that they can let run for years, mm-hmm. and so they don't need to be constantly pushing it every single week for years. They can let it simmer. You know what's going on, but you can't only have Sammy and Kevin only be in a feud with each other only ever.
Right. I agree, and I agree with that. I just think that the feud is still young enough that it could still, like, for WWE audiences, mm-hmm. that it could stand and be pushed. So, I guess I agree with you. Kevin would be a great recipient of the Money in mm-hmm. the Bank. I just, personally, I feel like maybe there's something better they can do with it. True. But, like, give it to Brock Lesnar.
Oh, God.
And let Brock Lesnar sit ringside forever.
I know that's your booking.
No, actually, I've changed my fantasy book. My fantasy book is Dean Ambrose wins it now, mm-hmm. and then cashes it in at the end of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view on whoever wins Reigns or Rollins. To me, that personally, just everywhere. What's your fantasy book for it?
I don't know. I think I'm going to hold off until I know who's all in it.
Fair enough, Bob. Fair enough. So, so those are your results from Extreme Rules. Fun show. Mm-hmm.
Great show.
And your results from Monday Night Raw.
Looking forward, we have, so obviously we got the Money in the Bank match as the big one. We know the main event of Money in the Bank, Rollins Reigns. Other women looking forward, I know you said it does nothing for Becky, but here's the thing. Since Becky was kind of in the Dana-Emma feud, I see this as kind of, because Emma's out, they're taking the Dana sidekick character and putting her on Charlotte instead, since Charlotte just kicked Rick out, so now she gets her sidekick still.
Right.
And then this elevates Becky to be a title contender. You know, they're basically just taking Becky out of this Emma Brooke feud and replacing Emma with Charlotte and making that the main women's feud.
I mean, that's
I could see.
Cool.
Obviously, we don't know, but I could definitely see that happening.
I know that would satiate your Becky, Lynch, your Becky is Bay. I can see it in your face.
Well, yeah, no, every single thing I predict for the women ends up with Becky winning everything. So maybe
Are we fantasy book fixing this a little bit in retrospect, Bob? Is that what we're doing here? And also, there was a rumor that apparently Sasha might have a concussion.
Yeah, rumor that she got bumped by a ref.
Jesus Christ!
In a live event.
What is in the water at WWE?
I don't know.
Everyone is dying. This is like really super unfortunate that that has happened.
And so, if they're gonna go with over women wrestlers, there's Sasha and Becky, and if there's no Sasha, then you go with Becky.
There's also Paige. They could also dust off that old chestnut.
Right? Remember Paige? Hey everyone, remember her?
She was that really attractive British woman that used to wrestle here. And now, speaking of used to wrestle here, so Adam Rose is finally officially
Adam Rose, cut. Cody Rhodes.
Oh, yeah. And Cody Rhodes, Jesus Christ.
Those are the two new cuts if you from the roster.
If you haven't read it yet, go to Cody Rhodes' Twitter. I think it's like at Prince C something G or CGR, something like that. Or just look up Cody Rhodes on Twitter. He posted like a 2-page open letter or something like that, announcing, like throwing the creative team under the bus. And just, it's sad to see him go because he put a lot into his gimmicks when he was there. He did the best with everything he could. I mean,
thank you, Cody.
Yeah, thank you, Cody, for real. He made a lot of really good points in his letter. You know, but what are you going to do, man? I mean, WWE Creative sometimes just drops the ball. Hopefully, moving forward with the new talent that they have, they don't fuck up as much as they did with Sandow and Cody and all these missed opportunities and these people who are gone now. We can only hope that they sort of turn it around and that maybe Cody didn't leave in vain. You know, maybe they don't fuck up Apollo Crews now. Maybe they don't fuck up Sasha.
Tyler Breeze moving forward.
Yeah, Tyler Breeze moving forward. It's fine that there are jobber people because you have to have enhancement talent, mm-hmm. but like,
not every new person
can be
a jobber.
Yeah, not everyone can be the enhancement talent, or what the fuck are we doing this for? Anyway, sorry to cut this short, guys, but it's late on a Monday and we have places to go, people to see. But we really wanted to get you the Extreme Rules results and the Raw results tonight because that's how much Bob and I care and love you.
We want to get this show up for you.
So follow us on Twitter. The show is at Small Package Pod, P-O-D, like the band or podcast. Hashtag Small Package also. At Bob Fekety on the Twitter, at CB Poindexter on the Twitter. That about wraps it up for us. We'll be back next week.
Covering probably this week's SmackDown, next week's Raw, and probably next week's SmackDown as well.
Yeah, we'll try to get all of that crammed in there. And also, we have some exciting news that we'll be letting you guys know about the future of where we'll be on the internet. We're moving our podcast, but we're still ironing out some details. We'll have all that for you, hopefully, in the next week or two. Until then, stay beautiful, and we will see you next week here on Small Package.
Small Package.
Package.